Hello and welcome to the second episode of the 24-25 Premier League FPL season. So yeah, the Premier League hasn't started yet, but since the next episode, since the last episode, the game has launched. And so basically in the pre-season, I'm just going to do some shorter episodes, just going through different drafts and talking about different players that could be. So in this episode, I'm just going to go through my draft that I have in my team at the moment, and then I'll do hint, I have Haaland in this draft. And then I'll do like a no Haaland draft, a Haaland, Salah, Foden, Palmer draft, or and stuff like that. That's not might be exactly what it'd be, but just stuff like that. So let's go straight in and start with the goalkeepers. So I've gone with a very budget goalkeeper lineup, only 8.5 million between them, and I've gone for the two Brentford keepers, Mark Flecken being their main one, and then their backup one if he gets injured, because that just if you want to not have to spend that much on keepers, that seems like a sensible way to do it, because you get the like the budget one of 4 million and. You always have a playing keeper if your first one gets injured. So that's how I did it. And Brentford, Flecken, and the backup keeper seemed like the best way to do it because Flecken was the only 4.5 keeper who had their backup keeper not also being 4.5 or like with Chelsea, whose first keeper will be 4.5. Their backup keeper will be Sanchez or Petrovic, whichever one it isn't, who is also 4.5. So that would mean spending 0.5 more, which is what these what those 0.5 decisions are what it's going to come down to this season, really, because it's just so hard to spread all the budget around. And then other 0.4.5 options were Areola. But then, what was the reason? Was he did his, was his teammate and also not so West Ham goalkeeper why am I searching goalkeepers? It's easier to search West Ham. West Ham yeah, their backup keeper is also 4.5, so this I couldn't see another pair that would work like this with Flecken and Valdemarsson is the backup keeper. I don't know if I've pronounced that correct. But let's go on to defence then. Goalkeepers just keep it extremely budget in my opinion. And this pair seemed to be the best. So in defence, I have got only one defender above 4.5 and that's Saliba because I just feel like it'll this basic he's basically an essential because he's just gonna be so popular because he had such a good season last season, second highest scoring defender behind Ben White, who's 6.5 million. And as I said, it's those 0.5 decisions which really decide it this year. So I went for Saliba because Arsenal's defence is so good. You need an Arsenal defender. Really, the only three confirmed starters are Gabriel, Saliba, and White. White's a bit expensive. Saliba's playing a bit better than Gabriel. And then I have Konsa from Aston Villa, and he's just such good value because Aston Villa defensively can be okay, and he is only 4.5 because there's also Digne, and then if you want to go that 0.5 higher, there's Maatsen as well. I had him in my team, but I like having that. Yeah, also I have 1 million in the bank in this draft, so. If one of my player, if there's a player that I need, it's a bit more expensive. That's just doing really, really well. I can do that transfer straight away, without having to move money around and taking hits, which just feels like a waste this season to take a hit. Now we can roll up to five transfers, so I feel like you just shouldn't be taking any hit whatsoever this season, and just doesn't feel right if you do. Then Konsa, yeah, highest scoring Aston Villa defender last year, 4.5. Going to be probably playing as a wing back. And the opening fixture, they're really good. So West Ham, and then it's Arsenal at home, which, yes, is a pretty hard fixture. But then it's Leicester, Everton, Wolves, Ipswich, Man United, Fulham, Bournemouth, up to game week 9 before it starts getting a bit harder. Konsa. I think he's going to be very popular as well. Let's see, selected by, nearly 20% of teams already. A lot of sense with his value being so good. So next I have Leif Davids in defence, who I've accidentally just removed from my team. Why did I do that? Why am I now selecting a state? Restore player. He's zero. He's 4.5 million, and he plays for Ipswich, and he managed to get 19 assists in the championship last season and 2 goals. And then if we compare that to the top Premier League assisters last season, the top was 13 with Ollie Watkins, and that means that if he'd got that many assists in the Premier League, he would have been the top assister. It means he would have got lots of points. So I feel like he's a very good option. Although Ipswich fixtures start off bad with Liverpool and Man City in the first two, but then it gets a lot better with Fulham, Brighton, Southampton, Aston Villa, West Ham, Everton, Brentford, Leicester. So, although Ipswich are one of the worst teams this season, being in the League One 2 seasons ago, they still, Leif David still would, Leif Davis still looks like a very good option. So next is Vestergaard, who is my 4 million budget defender. Plays for Leicester, probably going to be starting, and he was just the player that I needed to have to make it all work. Need that 4 million defender every year that's just has to be there to make the funds work. So Vestergaard is that at the moment for me this year. It could change. Maybe another one will pop up, and be a lot better option. So that leaves us down to the final defenders spot, which I put Dan Burn in because he seems to be most likely to start at that left back role for Newcastle, and all the other options there are also 4.5 million. So if it isn't Burn starting there, I will move to one of them because Newcastle's opening fixtures are very nice indeed. It goes Southampton, Bournemouth, and then Spurs, Wolves, Fulham, and then Man City. So there's a few harder fixtures, but then there's Everton and Brighton, and then it starts to get a lot harder. So they're okay fixtures, and I feel like I want to have a defender, their left back there, because if they're getting anywhere close to the points that Trippier can produce on the other side, it's very good value at 4.5. So that can finish the defenders, I think, and on to the midfielders. Where it starts, I'll start from the lowest priced one, which is, Andreas Pereira, who was the really, really good budget player 2 seasons ago, I think. And I was searching for the best midfielder within a 6 million budget, because that's what I had. And so, obviously, the top point scorers come up. At first, it was Gallagher. But he was okay, but then next on the list was Andreas, and I remembered him from 2 seasons ago, and I looked, and he got even more points last season than he did 2 ago, and I thought, as he was 0.5 million than Gallagher, I just, and he just seemed such a good pick. I feel like he's one of the players that, at the moment, as the game's launched, he's just gone really under the radar as a really good pick. So I thought he would be my good like budget midfielder. As I haven't got a 4.5, I've spread it a bit more around my funds. So I felt like he could be quite a good player for that position. So he's not completely confirmed yet, but he's quite a good pick. So next most expensive is Nkuku at 6.5 million. Now, if I don't completely know how Nkuku's gonna do, because he could get another injury, he could not be a guaranteed starter. But for what he can do and what he did before he joined Chelsea, I forgot what club it was now, but he was playing very well. 6.5 million feels completely underpriced, and he feels just too good a deal. So I've got him in my team. But then this is the kind of place where the 1 million in the bank that I have really comes in. Because if we start the season, he's been playing well in pre-season, but then he isn't actually first choice and he doesn't start playing well, then I can upgrade to a 7.5 actually at maximum. But if not, just a 7, which is I think that's just that from there to there can be actually a big upgrade. So that's in Cuckoo. Next up in pricing is Luis Diaz. So, spoiler, I don't have Salah. But I felt Luis Diaz would be the next best Liverpool option in midfield. If it turns out that he's not a guaranteed starter under Slot, and Jota, for example, is, then I will very easily, that's the same price, I'll move across to him. But with Liverpool, I kind of felt you really do need to have at least one attack for them, with their opening start fixtures being so nice. Ipswich, Brentford, Man United, Forest, Bournemouth, Wolves, Crystal Palace, Chelsea. So yeah, that's just a really good starting run of fixtures. And Luis Diaz, because I couldn't afford Salah with the rest of the team I have, I felt he could be the next best option, really, and I could afford him. So that is what I went for. Next, I have Martin Odegaard, because he is 1.5 million saving on Saka. So I would have had to probably removed a player for a worse player, like significantly worse player, to get the upgrade to him. And Odegaard, last season didn't actually do that much worse than Saka at all. I think in the end it was about 30 points, maybe 40, and 1.5 million I feel like is, especially if Odegaard's playing the way he has done, like especially 2 seasons ago Odegaard, that would be definitely, because he got 212 points then. So I feel like Odegaard, he has history of performing pretty well. He's had 3 seasons over 100 points in a row now. I know that's not like Mo Salah with like 5 seasons with over 200, but I feel like Odegaard has been doing this for quite a few seasons now, and he's young enough that he's only just going to be getting better, just like Saka is. And I just thought he was a really good option. He outscored Saka 2 years ago as well in 22-23. And I think he is not a better option than Saka, but better value for money than Saka. So that's 4 out of 5 midfielders done. Now the final one isn't Saka, as you know, isn't Cole Palmer. It's Phil Foden at 9.5. Because I felt like going for the cheapest one of those premium, like three midfielders of Saka, Foden, and Palmer. And then if I needed to upgrade because Foden wasn't doing well, or Palmer was doing really well, I had that money in the bank to do that jump straight up from Foden to Palmer in one transfer, having £1 million in the bank. So that's why I've gone for Foden. And also, his fixtures are very good, and I think he is basically guaranteed to start now for City. I think he has just got past the Pep Roulette and always starting category now. So got Foden, and that's all my midfielders, which leaves us to the final section, which is the strikers. So I'll do the same again, start low and go high. Firstly, My opinion, the best value pick in FPL this season, João Pedro, 5.5 million, but almost certainly going to be guaranteed starting for Brighton and possibly on penalties. Brighton under De Zerbi probably won't, not under De Zerbi, probably won't be as attacking, and their fixtures aren't the best. But 5.5, he's probably going to be on your bench for most of it, and probably would come on for probably his really good fixtures like Ipswich in game week 4, and fixtures like that. So I feel like he's just such good value. Right, and then next up, this is just going to ruin who my final forward is. I think you already know. I think I said it earlier in the podcast, actually. But anyway, Ollie Watkins, who is the second most expensive midfielder forward in the game, which does mean that my final one is Erling Haaland. But anyway, talk about Watkins now. Scored more points than Haaland last season, 13 assists in the Premier League last season, accompanied by a very high amount of goals. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. I can look it up though. General goals, 23-24. Obviously, Haaland got his second golden boot in a row, but 19 goals accompanied that 13 assists, which was by far the most attacking returns I think of any player. Maybe Cole Palmer came sort of close, but I don't think there was anyone else really anywhere close to the in total number of attacking returns. Although I don't think he can have such a good season this season as he did last, I feel like with such good opening fixtures being an okay priced, a low priced, I think, for what he did last season, and just probably being on penalties now as well with Douglas Luiz gone, I feel he was just too good to ignore. And then that leaves the final forward spot, accompanied by 15 million, most expensive player ever. I'm still just looking at that 15 million price of Erling Haaland. I still think it's too much, but I don't think you can not have him having the whole summer off. And then, if he can replicate his first season of nearly 300 points, I can't not have him. And at 50 million, for his first season, if he did the same as his first season, 50 million fair. But if he did the same as last season, I don't think 50 million is worth it, and I probably will move off. His ownership is 30%, so it's not crazy high yet, but it might rise depending on how he does in pre-season. So Haaland, just because I feel like I had to have him. And to round this episode off, I'm going to talk about the players that are most selected. So in each position, oh, how I just missed this. Well, for most selected goalie is Matt Turner for Nottingham Forest. Is he the top choice goalie there? 4 million. Let me see. Where is Nottingham Forest? Nottingham Forest. No, he isn't. He just scored the most points last season out of the Forest keepers. I'm sure I would have noticed if something like that. So I don't know why he's the most selected goalkeeper. Maybe he could be top choice, but I doubt it. And then Raya being second makes sense because he was highest scoring of last season's keepers and just played very well, and then Pickford, so yep. And then defenders, Saliba top, I have him in my team, as I've explained already, he's just really good pick. Then Gvardiol, I had him in my original draft, but 6 million, having 2 6 million defenders, this is too much on the defense, so I got rid of him. And then Porro, which I don't think you should be getting, because at 5.5, I don't think he's the absolute best option, and I feel like players like Konsa could outscore him. Or if you go a bit cheaper at Munoz from Crystal Palace, he could outscore him as well, I think. So then midfielders, Palmer being the most selected is really confusing for me. I'm guessing that could be just managers who have just started playing the game, logged on, started making a team, and obviously it sorts them by player points they scored last season, which makes Palmer be top. They just clicked on him being top, and they're in loads of teams. Which I don't know why else, because I mean, he relied so much on penalties last season, and we don't even know if he's like their main man at Chelsea under the new manager. Then it's Gordon, who I've had in my team in and out. He's been going in and out, but in this draft at the moment, which I'm quite happy with, he isn't in. So I can understand why, because Newcastle have pretty good opening fixtures, and yeah. So then we have the forwards, which top selected is Ollie Watkins, which makes a lot of sense. Probably also partly to do with what I said about Palmer. He was a top scoring forward. People just click on him being at the top. And then Isak, which as Newcastle's fixtures are pretty good, and he is also one of the best bargains I think of this season. He just all but the reason I don't have him is because I have Haaland and Watkins already, and I just can't have that expensive forward line. Then it is Haaland, and then João Pedro, which I've already talked about, all of those players. So that is my current draft, in my actual team. So the probably some of the drafts I'll be talking about in future episodes, will probably won't be my actual team draft. They'll probably be drafts I've just made. So that can finish this episode. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next one with a different draft. Bye.